Welcome to the 13 Skulls, a journey into a world that is just beyond our comprehension, the world of the paranormal.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 16 of the 13 Skulls podcast. We got a lot of stuff to cover today that I don't even know if we have enough time to cover it all. We're going to be taking a look at the top 10 weirdest superstitions. We're going to be taking a look at an alien gray that was supposedly caught in a security cam video, a triangular shaped UFO that was filmed over here at, over East Texas, a guy who kidnapped his girlfriend to get his ironing done, a gerbil that caused an accident on the highway, and a real life case of a demon possession, and quite a bit more than that coming up on the 16th episode of the 13 Skulls podcast. Alright everybody, thanks for joining me again. We got a lot of good stuff to cover today. I want to get some of the formalities buried dead and in the dirt before we get headed on to all that stuff. Basically, this is going to be kind of a short show today. I don't think we're going to be able to cover everything, but everything that I wanted to cover that I'm not going to be able to cover, I'll post links for all that stuff too, right along with all the stuff that we do cover in this episode. I'm going on vacation to Hawaii for about a little over a week and a half, close to 2 weeks, so there's not going to be any news segments coming out, you know, over the next couple of weekends, and probably by the time you're listening to this, I'll already be in the air and on my way there. So anyway, if you wanted to shoot the show an email, you want to, you know, tell me your stories, your comments, any kind of feedback, whatever, the email is the13skulls@gmail.com. If you wanted to shoot the show a voicemail of some kind, you want to talk to the show somehow, tell me your experiences, your comments, you know, whatever you want to say, get your voice out there. The phone numbers are 206-338-2205, and here in the locally in the DFW area is 817-986-0019. All right, well, let's go ahead and jump right into it. There's a few listener emails that I got recently that I wanted to go ahead and cover, and the first one comes from Angie. She says, I found your podcast through Erie Radio, as I think a lot of people do. Great show. I just wanted to send you a quick email after listening to a couple of your shows and hearing you mention of your interest in shadow people. I had an experience when I was 16 and I wanted to tell you about. First, some background. At the time, I was living out in the country with my parents. The area we lived in was pretty isolated, and our property was backed by a small stand of woods, then a cornfield, and then some more woods. Anyway, one night I was out for a walk and I had gone down into the backyard, just beyond where the porch light had reached, so the part of the yard I was in was pretty much in deep shadow. The moon was just rising above the trees, so there was a sharp dividing line between the shadow and the light. I was lost in thought for a few minutes, and then I looked up and saw a shape of a man standing in the patch of moonlight. It was a very large man, at least 6.5 to 7 feet. It was like a flat black silhouette that absorbed the light, and it cast no shadow, so I know there was no way that there was anyone there. Needless to say, I got the hell out of there. And thanks for making a great show, Angie. Well, thanks, Angie. I really do appreciate you sending that in. I really do. I have a fascination for anything that has to do with shadow people because I've seen them myself. I find them to be kind of creepy, but I really like them. I think they're interesting stories to hear from people because they happen, and they're kind of alike in a lot of ways, but they're kind of different in a lot of ways. But thanks for sending that in, Angie. I really do appreciate appreciate that. And if you ever have any more experiences that you want to send in, you know, send it to the email, you know, call into the show and you know, put your voice out there. You know, in all honesty, if you want to write into the email, you know, anybody out there want to write into the show, please do. I greatly appreciate it. I love to hear other people's stories. So thanks again, Angie, for sending that in. I really do appreciate it. The next email that I got is from Matt, and he said, hey, TJ, I like the show. This kind of show is right up my alley. He says, I'll get straight to the point. I had a few strange things happen throughout my life. I'm 33 now. When I was about 10 or 11, my brother and I were playing in the street, and roads were a lot quieter in those days. Anyhow, to cut the story really short, we saw an object move across the sky. The easiest way to describe it was like the NASA pod that returns to Earth with the people inside. It was just spinning slowly through the sky at about the height as a normal plane would fly. My brother remembers this just as I do. He called it a shuttlecock shape, but you see how this is just what I saw. This was in the southern Wales valleys in the mid-80s. I'd be curious to know if by chance anyone else who's listening saw anything similar or even the same object in the same area. And to be honest, if there's anybody out there that has seen anything like this, send the show an email, send me an email, send me a voicemail, something like that. I'd love to hear your story. Matt goes on to say, now for something really weird. When I was younger, I shared a bedroom with my older brother. I remember him getting up to go to the toilet, and he left the bedroom door slightly ajar. Moments later, I saw his silhouette creeping on all fours into the room. I didn't put it past him to creep up on me to make me jump. Anyhow, a belt that was on the chair got knocked off as he crept past. At this stage, I couldn't see him as the foot of the bed obscured him all but the top of his head. Well, at this point, I was about to tell him to stop scaring me, but the toilet flushed and I turned to the door that he promptly entered. That's really all I can say about that. He couldn't have been in our room and the bathroom at the same time. I should add that our parents' house is quite old. Used to be the vicar's house and one of the first, if not the first, on the block. I wish I could write more about this strange happenings in my life, especially the folks' house, but I don't want to go on too much. I tell you what, Matt, send in those stories, man. I love to read them. Even if they are long stories, I love to read them. I really do appreciate it. It's kind of creepy that whatever it was that you saw actually knocked the belt off the chair as it crept past. I really haven't heard of shadow people really interacting physically with things. Usually they go into, you know, through a wall, or they just vanish, or that kind of, to know that it physically interacted with something in your room is interesting. Thanks, Matt. I really do appreciate you sending that in. All right, well, the next email I got was from Wicked Belladonna. She says, hello, I've downloaded your podcast to listen while I work all day, and let me tell you what, you make my day fly by while listening to your well-spoken, curious information. I appreciate your outlook and your ability to see all sides to a situation. This only adds to your credibility and my listening enjoyment. I'm telling everyone I know to tune in ASAP for your informative and creative thoughts and ideas. You are awesome, and the music you choose is also very razor. Nice one. I'll keep on tuning in till you drop. Well, thanks, Belladonna. I really do appreciate you sending that in. It's emails like that that make me want to keep doing this show. To know that somebody out there is actually enjoying the content that I put out, I really, really, truly do appreciate the fact that they'd even, you know, like I've said this a million times before, that you would take the time out to write that in, you know, to put that out there. So I really do appreciate that. And thanks for sending that in. The next email that I got is quite a long email. And, you know, there's a few things here that I'm not really going to disclose as to who it is or who it's from. But basically, the email says, I just found this podcast and I'm in the process of listening to all the older ones. I have to say that it's a really kick-ass podcast. I just finished listening to episode number 11 and you were talking about an article that claims that Area 51 is dead. Yeah, I remember that. They basically said that Area 51 was pretty much just, an empty shell of a base now. Anyway, the email says, well, I have to tell you, I know for a fact that it's not dead, and they are still testing and building up top secret aircraft in the site to this very day. The reason I know this is that I am a student at an undisclosed university. I'm currently obtaining an electronics degree from this university, and technology companies come here from everywhere around the nation as well as outside the nation to hire graduates from the various electronics courses. It is considered one of the best tech schools from around the nation. Anyways, one of the companies that does some major, and I do mean major, recruiting is a company called JT3, and it's a subcontractor for the government specializing in building top secret aircraft. And I bet you'll never guess where they're located. That's right, Area 51. I've personally sat in the recruiting session, and although they never actually say Area 51, it's most definitely implied. This is how the whole thing works. If you get a job with them, it involves a major background check that lasts up to 2 years. By this, I mean being if you pass the initial screenings and are actually hired on, you still have to go through a lengthy process of obtaining a government top secret clearance. So what that means is until you obtain the clearance, you will be pretty much a glorified coffee fetcher in an area of the base that doesn't require you to have a top secret clearance. This is something that they tell you during the recruiting seminar. They give you during the whole process the opportunity to either further your education on their dime, or you can sit around the office and just wait for your clearance. I've also been told from a former student of said university, who also happens to be a former employee of JT3, a little bit of info about the day-to-day workings going on there. He said that in the morning you go to an airport in Las Vegas, and where there's an extensive security check, then you hop onto a passenger plane that has no windows and fly around for about 45 minutes doing what he says feels like big circles until you land in the base in the middle of the Nevada desert. The way he looked at it, they didn't want anyone to know the exact direction the plane was headed. I do have to say, I went through Marine Corps boot camp, and they did that. They would bring you in on a bus that would, the windows were so kind of mirror tinted that you couldn't see out of them. And they would bring you in at like 12 o'clock at night. They would drive you around the base for hours. And I come to learn that you could pretty much drive around the base in less than 20 minutes. But they drive you around the bus until you were so disoriented, confused, and didn't know where you were that, you know, they didn't have to worry about you knowing where you were, even where the entrance to the base was. His email goes on to say, he said that he, the way that he looked at it, they didn't want you to know where the plane was headed, hence all of the turning and the banking of the plane. You said that someone claims to have gone to the base only to find it completely abandoned, which is really what the article said whenever I read it in the last show. This I find funny because, one, all the employees are never really told exactly where they're going, and for two, I really don't think that the government would allow anyone to just drive up to the most infamous base in history, abandoned or not. I mean, even if they did abandon it, why would they? I mean, they have no reason to just let people just, you know, mosey on up to it and you know, hey, this is the base, woo, you know, and go looking around. So I can see how they would still keep it, you know, under lock and key, even if it was abandoned. I know that people nowadays, if they really want to, can drive up to the Mojave Desert in Nevada and get close to the base, but they are always stopped by armed military or signs everywhere that says use of deadly force authorized past this point. JT3 lets you know right from the start that their recruiting session, that they are a military contractor specializing in top secret aircraft built for the government, and that they are located in the Mojave Desert just outside of Las Vegas. Anyways, I hope that you find this interesting, which I really do, and thanks for putting out a great podcast. Keep up the great work. I really appreciate you sending that in. I love to hear people talk about that kind of stuff, and to know that you have kind of a close connection to this JT3 company that recruits for the government, I think it's really interesting that you kind of have this feel for it. You know, you've actually experienced it, and I love to hear that kind of thing. I really do. So thank you guys for sending that in. Shelly, Shane, Matt, Angie, I really do appreciate you sending those emails in. I love to hear that stuff. And if anybody else has got any opinions or stories or information like what Shane sent in as far as him being that close to the recruiting of the Area 51 employees, if anybody's got anything like that you want to share with the show, please send it in. I'd love to hear that stuff. It's just great. I love it. So again, thank you guys for sending that in. Again, the email is the13skulls@gmail.com. If you feel like talking about it, the phone numbers are 206-338-2205 and 817-986-001. So we're going to move on. I really appreciate it. You guys send in your emails. I want to hear about this stuff. All right, well, the first article that I wanted to talk about is courtesy of Gather.com, and it's real quick. It's the 10 crazy, wackiest, and plain just weird superstitions. And number 10, if you catch a falling leaf on the first day of autumn, you will not catch a cold all winter. I'm going to have to check that one out. Number 9, a horseshoe hung in the bathroom will keep nightmares away. I don't know how that works considering, you know, your bathroom may be attached to your bedroom, but, you know, I think you might want to put it over your bed. Anyway, number 8, it's bad luck to leave a house through a different door than the one that you came into. A dog howling at night when someone in the house is sick is a bad omen. Number 7, an acorn at the window will keep lightning out. I do not know how that would work. Number 5, if a black cat walks towards you, it brings good fortune, but if it walks away, it takes the good luck with it. And I have heard that one before. Number 4, if the butterfly you see in the winter is white, you will have good luck all year. Number 3, never take a broom along with you when you move. Throw it out and buy a new one. don't know why that would be. Number two, a loaf of bread should never be turned upside down after a slice has been cut from it. Okay, anyway, number one, a bird in the house is a sign of death. And no idea how you could get a sign of death from a bird being in your house. But anyway, those are the top 10 crazy, weirdest superstitions. All right, well, the next one I want to talk about is courtesy of eStandard.net, and it's the evil exploits of the invisible people. And the article goes, it's an open season again for the stranger than fiction stories. In the coastal town of Mombasa, the talk is about spirits that take on human or animal forms. Said to possess supernatural powers, these spirits are able to beat people, rape or sodomize them, or just make their life miserable. Some of them will take on the form of long dead people, and others will promise and even bring wealth in return for the life of a family member. While many will be tempted to wave away such stories as old wives' tales, people who claim to have encountered Djinns, D-J-I-N-N-S, have chilling stories to tell. The coastal strip is believed to be a favorite haunt for these spirits, the main reason, according to Islam preachers, being the Indian Ocean. The scary topic has been reintroduced by the happenings of the 2 weeks ago in Mombasa's old town, where residents claimed to have seen strange people at night. Some complained of having been strangled, others of having been slapped, and other forms of rough treatment. Many tenants moved from their rented houses, claiming that they have been attacked by spirits. A tour of the old town reveals many beautiful houses that are unoccupied, a situation that residents attribute to the houses being haunted. For the past 3 weeks or so, some old town residents claim to have experienced weird occurrences such as invisible families conversing in apparently empty houses. One moment you see naked people and the next they are dressed. At other times you hear invisible people talking and laughing around you. Dozens of houses have been abandoned, but they have their owners. Nobody would rent these houses because they are, you know, they belong to the spirits. It's really quite weird to know that you'd have a town that's got all these abandoned houses in it because they're all haunted. Residents of Bamburi still recall an incident in 2001 when a person believed to be a spirit was turned into a cat that was then trapped by a magician. The cat had its head and neck in a pot buried in the ground. According to Islamic preachers and Muslims in Bamburi, it was in the case of a spirit being trapped by a more powerful spirit, probably from Tanzania, which is believed to be home of a very powerful spirit. The cat struggled to get its head out of the tight-necked pot for over 12 hours, and according to residents, when it was finally released, it turned into a human being and disappeared into a nearby cemetery. Strange stuff. Now, there's a lot more to this article. Like I said, we're running low on time as far as how long this show is going to be today. So you guys go check out the evil exploits of the invisible people. There's a lot more to this article to be read there. And you go check it out. And if you got any opinions on the evil exploits of the invisible people, let me know about it. I want to hear this stuff.
Hey, 13 Skulls listeners. This is Jay, also known as Solely Jay. I'm sure you're all interested in all unknown subjects. So if you have a few minutes, please feel free to visit my podcast at solelyj.podomatic.com. Now back to the show with your host, TJ.
The next thing that I want to talk about is a video courtesy of disclosed.tv, and I'll provide you a link and I'll embed the video too, so you guys can take a look at it. And it's basically a CCTV security camera that caught an alien gray that went through kind of a hallway. Basically what you're going to be seeing is a long hallway. It's kind of that bluish, grayish, greenish kind of security feed, and it's facing down a hallway. The hallway is slightly to the, you know, bent to the right, so it's not a straight on view. It's kind of like turned to the right, and you can see a hallway. You go down and you got about four doors that are spaced, and then it goes to like a T-section. The hallway ends, you can either go left or right. Well, you'll be sitting here watching the video and it kind of flickers a little bit, and all of a sudden near the end of the video you see this lanky, big-headed, skinny, long-legged kind of creature creep by. It's supposed to be an alien gray. It's really interesting, but I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, it's kind of far away. It wouldn't surprise me if it was, you know, hoaxed of some kind, but I thought it was interesting to say the least, because it does kind of gangly creep its way across the back of the hallway. Like I said, it's far away. It's kind of hard to see, but it was on security camera, so I don't know where the video was taken, but it's really interesting. You guys go take a look at it and let me know what you think. All right, well, the next thing that I want to talk about is courtesy of UFOcasebook.com, and it's a triangular-shaped UFO that was photographed over East Texas. So the photograph below was sent to me by my good friend Larry from Kaufman, Texas, on 6908, and he was doing his usual sky watching when he spotted an unknown object in the sky. He took photographs, and after viewing it, he saw the object was of triangular shape. The 740 by 555 pixel image below they provided from Larry, it's a compelling photograph. It's kind of interesting. And considering that the second photograph, what you're going to be seeing is kind of a photograph that looks up into the sky. There's a small, you can see the top of a tree at the bottom part of the photograph with some clouds in the sky and the blue sky. And you can see an object that is kind of triangular shaped, and it's in between the clouds and the man taking the picture. And it is, they show like a kind of grainy close-up photograph, and it is triangular shaped. And they show a second photograph below that one. It says also on the same day, Larry captured another image that you might find interesting. It appears to show a disc or an oval-shaped object with something on the top. It's also a 740 by 555 pixel image, and you know, it's got a link to the 3648 by 2736 pixel image that you can go take a look at. But they kind of look the same. They almost look like they're in the same spot, and you can tell a difference that it is either a different time of the day or a different day because of the amount of clouds that are in the sky, and you're close to the same tree, or at least looks to be the same tree. Anyway, you guys go take a look at these pictures and let me know what you think. I think it's interesting, but at the same time, there's not enough proof there for it to really be something that, I mean, they sell remote control UFOs. It could be anything. So it could be a remote control UFO. It could be a real UFO. I'm not really sure. There's not enough clarity in the pictures there to really get anything good from. So anyway, you guys go take a look at the pictures and let me know what you think. Now, this next article that I wanted to talk about is courtesy of Reuters.com. For anybody out there who wants to be a little attentive about how you say that word, personally here, I grew up with the fact that it's called Reuters. But anyway, I won't get into that for all you critics out there of how you pronunciate your words. The article is a guy who kidnapped his ex-girlfriend to get his ironing done. And it says an Italian man, it's a short article, it doesn't have any pictures or anything, but it says an Italian man was arrested on suspicion of kidnapping his ex-girlfriend from a pub, taking her home and forcing her to iron his clothes and wash the dishes. The 43-year-old man dragged the woman out of a pub in the port city of Genoa, shoved her into a car, and took her to his home to make her iron and wash his dishes after threatening her. Police arrived at his house after being tipped off by a friend of the woman who watched the scene happen at the pub. The man, who was apparently furious at his ex-girlfriend for leaving him, was arrested on charges of kidnapping. I just thought it was interesting. I mean, come on, you can't. I mean, was he doing it just out of spite? Just to piss her off, just to do something, you know, like I said, out of spite to her. I mean, come on, you can't wash your own dishes and do your ironing. You know, man up, do something, do it on your own. But anyway, you know, if she's leaving you, no wonder she's leaving you, dude. You can't even do your own laundry. Can't even do your own dishes. No wonder she left your ass. Anyway, you guys go take a look. You don't even need to take a look at it. I've already read the article to you. If you've got any opinions on kidnapping spouses and ex-spouses and girlfriends and boyfriends to do your ironing, you know, let me know. All right, well, the next article I wanted to take a look at is courtesy of news.yahoo.com. And it's another short article, which I just thought was kind of funny. And it's a gerbil's escape from a cage blamed for an accident. Police say a teenage driver who lost control of her car while scrambling to capture her pet gerbil wasn't cited for an accident that hospitalized two people. Lieutenant Dave Karen said the gerbil escaped from its cage while the 17-year-old driver was southbound on State Route 51 Tuesday morning. Making a grab for a fuzzy escape artist, the driver veered off the road and hit a stranded truck hooked to another truck by jumper cables. The impact pushed the two trucks together, pinning a woman in between. She suffered a broken leg. A male co-worker helping the woman with her truck also suffered a broken leg, and both were taken to the Utah County Hospital. Neither the teen nor the gerbil were hurt. Well, it just goes to show you teenagers aren't good drivers, man. I mean, come on, that's when you just pull over and then get out and look for the gerbil. But anyway, I just thought it was funny that, you know, a gerbil caused an accident.
Airy Radio, opening the door to the unknown. Download episodes of Eerie Radio directly from iTunes or visit their website at www.eerieradio.com.
Well, the next thing that I wanted to talk about is courtesy of parabook.wordpress.com, and it's a real-life case of demon possession, which I thought was really, it's kind of a long article. I'll try and get through it as quickly as I possibly can. It says, a woman levitated, spoke other languages, and showed paranormal powers. An American woman who levitated, demonstrated paranormal psychic powers, and spoke foreign languages unknown to her was clearly demon-possessed. According to a board-certified psychiatrist and associate professor of clinical psychology at New York Medical College. The unnamed woman with a long history of involvement with satanic groups was observed by a team of priests, deacons, several lay assistants, psychiatrists, nuns, some of whom also had medical and psychiatric training, levitating 6 inches off the ground while objects flew off shelves in the same room, according to Dr. Richard E. Gallagher, who documented the case in the February issue of the New Oxford Review. It says that periodically in our presence, Julia would go into a trance state of recurring nature. Mentally troubled individuals often dissociate, but Joyce is like, leave her alone, you idiot. She's ours. Leave, you imbecile priest, or just leave. The tone of this voice differed markedly from Julia's own, and it varied, sometimes sounding guttural and vaguely masculine, and at other points high-pitched. Most of her comments during these trances or other subsequent exorcisms displayed a marked contempt for anything religious or sacred. There's a lot more here. It's a weird case of it. There's a lot of comments from all the scientists and the psychiatrists and the nuns and all that stuff from all of this. So it says the entry was written on June 16th of 2008 at 6:34 p.m. So you guys go finish taking a look at it. It's an interesting case of demon possession that I thought was really, really strange to know that, you know, that they actually documented this kind of thing. That I don't see any links to be able to find any. I wonder if they took any audio or anything. I haven't been able to find anything about it. But if anybody knows anything about this case, you can send any more information on it. Please do. I'd love to hear about it. All right, well, the next thing I want to talk about is also from UFO Casebook, and it's a photograph taken of a flight from Rome to Amman, and it shows a UFO. Excuse me. I was checking out some photographs I took during my flight from Rome to Amman on the 30th of January, 2008. I didn't recognize any strange objects when I was aboard, but just yesterday I discovered something unusual in one of the pictures I had taken. The sighting was around over Cyprus at 16:48 local time of Italy, which would be 4:48 time, you know, if it's going from military time to 1648. It says, anyway, it was taken on the 30th of January. The shape of the UFO is classic, low edges and domed center, far from the plane, reflecting the orange setting from the sun rays. Although I was in the plane, I was taking my photographs. I didn't even see it with my own eyes. I didn't feel anything strange, and I had three pictures taken at the time. One of them you can see the UFO. And you can see the UFO. It's out the right side, or maybe the left side of the plane. I can't tell really what side of the plane it was taken out of, but you know, they look like they're a good 35,000 feet up. You can see some clouds down there. You can see the colored of the horizon, and it does look to be a disc shape with a dome in the middle, that typical saucer shape. Anyway, you guys go take a look at it and let me know what you think about it. I think it was an interesting picture. It could just be I don't know, maybe some kind of weird refraction of light coming off a cloud. I mean, I have no idea what it could be. Maybe it's something to do with something kind of weird reflection in the camera lens. I don't know, but maybe it is a UFO. I mean, if he didn't see it with his own eyes, maybe he just wasn't paying attention. Maybe it was some kind of infrared UFO that can only be picked up on film. I don't know. You guys go take a look at the picture, and if you got any opinions on it, you know, let me know what you think about it. I'd love to hear it.
Something new from Podiobooks.com.
The past never dies. It only sleeps. In a solitary station on the fringe of known space, the past is beginning to stir. And when it wakes, Crescent Station will be as the belly of the beast.
You call your father and you tell him there's something very wrong with this ship. Panic spoke up full now and it said, "Scream for your life, bitch!" So Marissa screamed. We can't see her. We're wrong. We have to leave.
Crescent, a podcast novel by Phil Rossi. For more information, please visit www.crescentstation.net.
Some places are far darker than deep space.
Crescent is waking, my boy. Pray, sleep with the light on and one eye open. At least, until you get used to its creaks and groans.
www.crescentstation.net. Get this book and more free titles from podiobooks.com.
Now the next thing I want to take a look at is courtesy of roswell-record.com. And it's Roswell Record with a dash in between Roswell and Record. It says it's official. Plans are in motion for Roswell's own Alien Apex Resort theme park, which will welcome believers, skeptics, and anyone in between as early as 2012. Which is interesting. We're going to open it up at the same time the world's going to end. Anyway, what began more than 2 years ago is computer technician Brian Timmer's dream is slowly becoming a reality. A resident of Central Florida, the president and founder of the proposed theme park, says he loves roller coasters and was inspired by the thought of an all-roller coaster theme park. Alien Abduction, The Ride, an indoor roller coaster which simulates an alien abduction by propelling guests through realistic sets that include advanced animatronics and high-tech special effects, has become the proposed theme park's paramount feature. Every evening, the park will reenact the famed UFO crash of 1947 with a multi-sensory celebration of fireworks, effects, and music called The Symbiosis. Timmer's imagination didn't stop there. He hopes to include many family-oriented rides, themed dining experiences, interactive exhibits, shops, and other attractions. The state has given Roswell $245,000 to fund extensive research of these deliverables, which will provide site evaluations, attendance projections, economic assessments, development plans, and a community impact reports, among other evaluations. It says some of the largest, most successful companies in theme park industry are looking at Roswell. These are experts in the industry who know good thing when they see it. While projects such as acquiring property, finalizing construction, drawing and ordering materials, not to mention construction itself, could take up to 4 years, Montgomery said the park is expected to open in early 2012. It's interesting. There's a lot more to this article about, you know, what they're doing with it and all that stuff. I just think it's interesting that they're going to be opening a Roswell theme park, that they're going to have an all roller coaster theme park, which I think is interesting. Personally, I hate roller coasters. I know. You guys are going to be telling me I'm crazy for hating roller coasters, but I just can't stand not being in control. I think if they put a steering wheel at the front of it and let me have that and feel like I'm turning the thing, maybe then I might like them a little bit more. But anyway, I thought it was interesting that they're going to have an alien theme park. And I tell you what, as soon as they open this thing up, I'm going to have to go. And if anybody ever does before I get to go, or if you know anything else about this, or if you've seen anything to do with it, let me know. I'd like to hear more on it. All right, now, I know this is going to be a short show. I haven't really talked about much, but, you know, there's a lot of extra links to stuff that I didn't get a chance to talk about that you guys are going to have to go take a look at it because I thought they were really interesting. I just don't have time for them right now. So whatever I have left that I can't talk about, I'll make sure to, you know, to separate the articles I did talk about from the articles that I didn't talk about, so you guys know which ones are which. And you're going to have to go take a look at them, because there's a lot more there that I wanted to talk about. And the last article is courtesy of UFOs.about.com, and it's a UFO captured on video from an airplane. It says, only yesterday I received a report that was sent to me through the MUFON network. The reports are no different than any other UFO reports. Some are very compelling and some are not. And today, it's especially difficult to find good photographs and videos of UFOs. I believe that the following report is an exceptionally good one with an excellent piece of video. And the video is there for you to download. You'll see a little link in the third paragraph that'll say download the video, and you're going to have to download it. Now, it's an AVI file, so you might need to convert it if you can, or hopefully you have a program that can watch it. It says, while flying on a jetliner en route to Crete and over the Serbia Sea, a woman saw an unusual sight through the window. A UFO. She pointed it out to her husband, who promptly grabbed his Samsung camera, placed it on the video mode, and started filming. The video is extremely clear, and you can plainly see a white, elongated disc shaped. It appears that the object was moving the opposite direction from the plane, and after a bit, it disappears from view. It says, I have included a still frame above right that I captured from the original AVI file, and urge you to download the video and check it out. You can right-click on the link I provided, and then select save as target, blah, 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 and watch it for yourself. Well, if you like the video, you should really check it out. I thought it was really interesting. You should download it and see it. It's kind of weird. I don't really know what it would be. I mean, it could just be something on the ground reflecting light passing, you know, underneath the plane. But anyway, you guys go check out the video and let me know what you think. Alright, well, you guys, again, I hate to make this such a short show. I really want to have so much more that I wanted to cover that I couldn't get to. It really kind of aggravates me to know that I didn't have enough time. But anyway, like I said, there's a lot more stuff that you need to check out. Again, we'll go ahead and wrap this show up. If you guys want to shoot the show an email, shoot me an email. Let me know what you think, comments, feedback, any experiences that you've had, anything you want to talk about in general. The email is the13skulls@gmail.com. Or if you really want to feel like, you know, talking it out and want to send me a voicemail of some kind, you know, comments, feedback, whatever. The phone numbers are 206-338-2205. Or locally here in the DFW area is 817-986-0019. The music in the Tonight Show, if you like that enough to where you want to listen to it, is courtesy of IodePermanent@IodeAlliance.com. You know, you can go check it out. I got links to all the music. You can listen to it, download it, buy it. You can go do whatever you want with it. And also, if you like the song that you're listening to right now, it's courtesy of Lead Devil at myspace.com/LeadDevil. That's LEDDEVIL. And if you like them, you should really go support them. Lead Devil, they're a great band. I tell you what, the kind of music that they play is just, it's extremely difficult to play. So you got to give those guys credit for the talent that they have for being able to play that kind of music. So anyway, it's the music in tonight's show. Again, if you like it, I'll post links to it all. You can go check them out and download them. Give everybody support. You got to love independent music. You got to support that stuff. But if you really feel like it and you want to give the show a vote, go to Podcast Alley. You can search the 13 Skulls. And I was just informed that there are three different feeds there that you can vote for on Podcast Alley. I'm not sure what was going on with that. I don't know how there ended up being three different feeds on there, but I will make sure to get that collaborated down to one thing that you can vote for. But just go and give us a vote if you feel like it. Also, if you want, I love to know where people are listening to the show from. Go and sign the Frapper map. There's a link to it on the right sidebar, or I'm sorry, the left sidebar of the 13skulls.com. I will post a link to it so you guys can find it a little bit easier. But if you want, sign the Frapper map. I'd love to hear it. Give us a vote on Podcast Alley, or shoot us an email, phone call, whatever you want. Share everything, you know, with the listeners and with myself. So anyway, you guys, I hate to be, this is a short show, but you know, just so many hours in a day that you can do stuff. So anyway, you guys take care. Have a great day, night, week, weekend, whatever it is that you're listening to the show. And as usual, I will talk to you guys again on another day. Walk out of God. Walk out of God.